Hello and welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are walking straight into the middle of what I think is a massive identity crisis happening in the legal profession right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a topic that makes a lot of attorneys I know just instinctively recoil, or at the very least, roll their eyes. We're talking about artificial
Oh,
intelligence.
the collective groan. I can almost hear it already.
Right. But before you check out because you think this is another robots are coming for your job segment, I want to start with a really serious reality check.
And it is a harsh one.
It is. This comes straight from the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court, Nels Petersen. He recently shared a statistic that, frankly, I had to read twice. He pointed out that right now, more than a third of civil cases in Georgia have at least one party without a lawyer.
A third? That is,
Ugh.
it's just a staggering number when you think about it. You're not talking about small claims.
No.
You're talking about real people trying to navigate procedure, evidence, everything completely alone.
Exactly. And it gets even bleaker when you look at the geography of it.
Right. This is the whole legal desert idea. We're not just talking about a budget issue. We're talking about pure access. In Georgia, there are 54 counties with 10 or fewer attorneys. Total. And then there are eight counties that have zero.
Zero.
Zero. No lawyers at all. So if you live there, you have no one. You're completely on your own.
That is just a massive structural failure. And that's where the Chief Justice made this connection that I'm sure raised a few blood pressures. He suggested that AI might be the only way to close this gap.
Which is where the conversation always goes off the rails, right? Because lawyers hear AI and they think unlicensed robot practicing law. They hear malpractice.
And those are valid fears. We've seen the headlines. But that's exactly why we're digging into this today. We're unpacking a really fascinating article from the Forward Push law firm marketing website. And I want to be clear about why we chose this particular piece. It's not some tent brochure.
No, not at all.
It approaches this whole problem through a lens of survival, how solo and small firm attorneys can use this tech not to replace themselves, but to actually survive.
And that's our mission for this deep dive, really, to move past the hype and understand what the article called the difference between replacement AI and amplification AI.
A critical distinction. So let's get right into that. The article argues there's the bad AI and then there's the necessary AI. Let's start with the bad stuff first.
Okay, the bad is type one, replacement. This is the AI that's trying to actually practice law, predicting outcomes, drafting complex pleadings, offering strategic advice.
And we've seen the disasters here. I mean, the article references that now infamous case where a lawyer filed a brief and the AI, it just made up the cases.
Hallucinations. That's the technical term for it. But in law, it's just catastrophic malpractice.
But why does it do that? I think that's what people don't get.
Well, because it's not smart. It doesn't know truth. It's a prediction engine. It's just guessing the next most probable word. It has no context, no experience.
And no law license to lose.
Exactly. So the source is very firm on this. Type one, the replacement kind, is a total non-starter. It's dangerous.
Okay, so no robot lawyers. Got it. So what is type two? What is this amplification idea that the article says is so necessary?
This is where we have to shift our thinking. Think about the layers that already exist. If you walk into a courthouse confused, who do you talk to?
Probably a court clerk. Maybe grab a pamphlet.
Right, a clerk. And a clerk can't give you legal advice, but they can say, this is the form you need, or file this in room 302. They're an intermediary.
So the argument is AI is just a digital court clerk.
In a way, yeah, but one that scales infinitely. It operates 247 in 50 languages. It's not replacing the lawyer. It's clearing the path so the client can actually find the lawyer.
I like that framing. It's removing friction.
Totally. Which brings us back to that justice gap.
Yep.
Because, okay, it's helpful in a rural desert, but the article takes this really interesting turn. It says the gap isn't just a rural problem.
This part really stood out to me.
We assume the gap is about scarcity, no lawyers. But in a big city, the problem is the opposite. It's not scarcity, it's noise.
Explain that. How can having too many lawyers be a problem?
It's a visibility gap. The source points out an average metro area might have 500, maybe even 1,000 law firms, but Google's local pack, that little map box at the top, how many spots are in there?
It's what, three?
Three. 1,000 qualified attorneys fighting for three spots.
So the gap in the city is that the client can't find the right lawyer. They're just buried.
Precisely. The end result for the consumer is the exact same. Whether there are zero lawyers or 1,000 you can't find, you still end up without good representation.
And the article implies that brilliant attorneys are losing out to competitors who aren't better lawyers. They're just better marketers.
Competence does not equal visibility. That's the hard truth. And as a solo practitioner, you can't just work harder to fix that.
So if you can't outspend them and you can't clone yourself, well, wait, maybe you can. This is where amplification comes in, right?
This is where we talk about capacity. The main reason small firms fail to grow isn't lack of skill. It's a lack of capacity to do the business of law while also practicing law.
Okay, let's get practical. The article mentions a digital twin. I have to admit, that sounds a little sci-fi.
It sounds futuristic, but the tech is already here. A digital twin, in this context, is an AI-generated avatar of you. It looks like you. It sounds like you.
I can hear people cringing. I'm not letting a deepfake talk to my clients.
And you shouldn't. Not for legal advice. But think about all the repetitive educational content. The stuff like, what happens after a DUI arrest?
The FAQ stuff you say 1,000 times.
Exactly. Right now you have 2 choices. Spend hours every week recording videos, or just don't do it and stay invisible.
And most people are choosing not to do it. They're busy.
The digital twin lets you feed a script that you wrote and approved into a tool, and it generates the video of you saying it. So you're in court, but your twin is on YouTube explaining something to a potential new client.
So it's about being everywhere at once. You're cloning your time, not your judgment.
Exactly. You're still the expert. The AI is just the delivery mechanism.
But does it actually lead to cases? Because the article dropped some stats on ROI that were pretty brutal.
They were. The source cites that 82% of law firms report poor ROI from Google Ads. That's billions of dollars just being set on fire.
82%? Why? If people are searching, why aren't the ads working?
Because of the response time. Here's the other stat, the smoking gun. 40% of inbound web leads go unanswered.
40%? That is almost half your potential business just vanishing.
And it's not because lawyers are lazy. It's because if you're a solo attorney in a 4-hour deposition, you physically cannot answer the phone.
And by the time you call back,
they've already hired somebody else. Speed is everything. This is the capacity bottleneck.
And that's where the AI comes in as that amplification layer. It's a safety net.
It's the instant response. A structured intake bot can engage that lead immediately. Hi, I see you're asking about a car accident. Were you injured? It captures the data and books the appointment. It stops the bleeding.
It ensures that while you're doing the legal work, the business doesn't just stop.
Exactly. It solves the capacity problem.
I want to shift to the consumer side of this because a lot of attorneys might say, well, my work speaks for itself. I rely on word of mouth. But the data in this article, it paints a very different picture.
The word of mouth era has gone digital. The source breaks it down. 77% of consumers start their attorney search online.
Not calling their neighbor, they're Googling it.
Yep. And get this, 60% call directly from the map listings. They don't even visit the website. They see the map, the star rating, and they hit dial.
That's wild. They don't even care where you went to law school.
They care that 5 other people said you helped them. 90% of people now trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation.
We find a lawyer the same way we find a good restaurant.
It's uncomfortable, but yeah. And there's a time pressure. 56% of people take action within 1 week.
So the window is tiny?
It's minuscule. So if you're the better lawyer, but you have no reviews and you don't answer the phone instantly, you lose.
So visibility isn't vanity. In today's world, visibility is accessibility. If they can't find you, you can't help them.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, let's circle back to the ethics of all this. We started with the Chief Justice's warning, and we can't ignore the risks.
For sure. The article is clear we're walking a tightrope. The risk of fabricated evidence is real. We cannot have AI hallucinations in court. It undermines the entire system.
But the argument here isn't to ban it.
No, banning it is impossible. The genie is out of the bottle. The source puts out a call to action here, and it's that lawyers need to participate in defining the rules now.
Because if they don't,
who will? The tech companies who want to sell products.
Yeah.
Legislators who don't understand the nuances. You have to get involved.
You can't just ignore the technology. You have to shepherd it.
You have to integrate it on your terms.
So let's try to distill this down. If I'm a lawyer listening and feeling a mix of, I don't know, excitement and exhaustion, what are the big takeaways?
I think the first is just a mindset shift. Amplification versus replacement. Stop thinking of it as a robot lawyer. It shouldn't do the thinking, but it absolutely must do the communicating.
It handles the volume so you can handle the value.
That's a great way to put it. The second is just market reality. AI levels the playing field. It gives the solo practitioner a fighting chance against the mega firms with huge marketing teams.
It democratizes visibility.
It does. And finally, the capacity takeaway. You don't have to choose between being a good lawyer and running a visible business anymore. You could do both.
That's the key. It removes the either or choice.
Yep. And I think that brings us to a final thought on that justice gap we started with.
Yeah, let's wrap up on that.
The justice gap won't be solved by AI alone. A chatbot can't represent someone at trial. But the gap definitely won't be solved by ignoring how modern clients find help.
If the people can't find the lawyers, the system fails.
Precisely. This is just about using new tools to do what good lawyers have always done. Demonstrate competence and build trust, just at a modern scale.
It's a tool. Pick it up and use it.
It's the only way forward.
Well, this has been a real eye-opener. It moves the conversation from the robots are coming to here is how we can actually do our jobs better. And that is where we will leave it for today. The choice is yours. Help define the role of AI in your profession, or sit back and have it defined for you. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.